to prayer right now, and I just want to be praying for Trinity, praying for our families, praying for summer, praying for training of children, praying for our DR partnership and our DR Well project. Let's just ask God to put his hand on all these things. Lord, we are bowing before you because you are Lord of all. In the storm, even, in the uncertainties, you are the cornerstone. You are the rock. You are our rock. And so we turn to you. We trust in you, Lord. We pray that you would, by your Spirit and your working, breathe into these ministry plans, Lord, that which would make them effective. The VBS this summer, the other ministries for kids, the training of children, the youth ministry and the sleepover, the adult ministries that are happening, the Sunday gatherings here, Lord, the connection here in community, the desire, Lord, for us to engage more and more people, the partnership with the DR, the village there, the work of the gospel through Pastor Eddie and the church, the need for water and the opportunity to help them finish this well, and for Trinity to make a major impact in one village, Lord, related to those dear people, but also reflective of the needs that so many have, Lord. So we pray for your hand to be upon all these things, that your work might advance. God, we pray you do your work in us. Help our hearts to be open, Lord, to what you are saying, God, for those that need special ministry today, those who are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are teetering on the edge of doubt. God, we pray for your mighty working, Lord, for those that are far from you, that we love and we long for them, Lord, to know you and to turn to you or to return to you. God, we pray for your mighty working in their hearts as well. God, use us and fill us individually and together for your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Let's turn in God's word together, and we're just reading one verse, and then we're unpacking this one verse today, and of course a lot of other scriptures relate to it. In this Proverbs 22:6, it says this: train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How is helping children know and follow Jesus like staying physically fit, or like developing a musical skill, or like being an athlete? It means training. It means training. It's not passive. It's not just sort of going with the flow. To help children know and follow Jesus requires training. Constancy in prayer and instruction. And that's what we're looking at today. Today's verse tells parents and the believing community, don't miss that, to train. And so we come alongside parents in their training. We pray for kids as they're being trained. Every child we look at, pre-adult, is someone in need of training, and we embrace, as we embrace gospel ministry, we embrace, yes, training is a big part of this. Training children and standing with parents in their training of children. Today we're going to consider some of the how and now of training children. I say now because there's a sense of urgency with each child, with each phase. Because there will come a time when they are not a child and they are not in this phase. And all of this is so that they continue to follow the Lord in the years ahead, even in more difficult situation in the years ahead. The scripture there, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. That word train could mean to dedicate or consecrate or initiate. It's definitely looking to God in this process. And today we're going to unpack this. We're going to look at this verse. We're going to look at Proverbs because all Proverbs need to be interpreted in light of all the Proverbs. And of course, Proverbs are applied in the light of the comprehensive revelation of God in Scripture, including the New Testament. So we're going to draw on all the Scriptures in a way, as we drive this toward application in the training of kids in the Lord. Recently, Lori and I had the opportunity to go to the homeschool music choir concert that was directed by our oldest daughter, Cassie. And as Cassie was setting this up in talking about it with the parents and the kids, it was clear to me that she understood this concert was really just a part of a process of training. He said, you know, what we've been working on is ear training. Now we're doing the harmony so they can hear one another sing. And the whole thing was really not so much about these kids getting up there and singing for us to entertain us, but as she saw it as a music teacher, this is all about training. Everything's about training. Life is training. And as parents and as a community, we need to go, yes, it's all training. Of course, all of us are in a manner in a process of training. But in particular, children, and this verse highlights that, and we're going to unpack that today. Let them come is the message series we're considering. Let them come to Jesus and hear his call to them and embrace him and grow in him and follow him. And, of course, the child of today in particular needs lots of training to live in the world that's out there, the world that's likely coming in the days to come. And there may be some parents that are going to try to parent in thinking it's the same world it used to be because they wish it was. But it isn't. It isn't that world. We have to train kids to live in the world of today and the world that's yet to come. And of course, how we do that is not by saying, oh, we're longing for the good old days. How we do that is to lay in them the foundation of the Bible and knowing God. And that's what this verse is all about. Training kids then necessitates a lot of intentionality and prayer on the part of a parent and a part of a Christian community. How do we do that? That's so much of what today's message is about. Let's just recap a little bit about this series so far. We looked at Mark chapter 10 and introduced the idea of the parent-church partnership. And each child, each preschool child, grade school age child, teenage child needs that parent-church partnership. Parents are foolish if they say, oh, I can just do this myself. Because the Bible presents this training in the context of community. And week number 2, we talked about how training is centered in the Lord. And of course, this proverb gets at that a lot too, but it's a personal heart response to him. It's not about sort of outward conformity, although there's a place for behavioral instruction. It's about inner response to the great God and his offer of life. This came from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then the third week, last week, we looked at 2 Timothy and the Scripture, the vital role of Scripture in training children for them to live in this ungodly world in a way that reflects the Lord and what the Lord would want. And we considered that. I'd like just to kind of review 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 and notice how this word training again comes up. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness so that the man of God might be equipped for every good work. So our children need the Scripture as we need the Scripture in training. I think there's a wrong approach to the Proverbs that I want to kind of push against a little bit as we begin. One is to read the Proverbs as if it was just that one verse. And I'm preaching one verse, but I love what Tim Keller said. He said, no one Proverbs gets the whole picture. The Proverbs only give the picture in their cumulative understanding. So this one proverb we need to understand in the context of all of the Proverbs, in the context of all the Scriptures. The other approach to the Proverbs, I think, goes way, way wrong, is to read the Proverbs, and especially a proverb like this, sort of just very individualistically. This is for me and my life, my wife and I, and our cute little family, and that's it. And of course, what's wrong with that? Well, the Proverbs are revealed in community and reference community, and a fool is one who is wise in his own eyes and ignores the godly community. And in some ways,
When we read the Proverbs and understand the Proverbs, we understand them best in community. Because we all value one another, and we all see and understand these scriptures in ways that sort of can pull out their community impact. And furthermore, in training our children, we must train them not just for the little moral principles we want to put in, or you should love Jesus and follow him, but part of that training is to say, for the rest of your life, the community of believers is a vital part of how you're going to walk in wisdom. A lot of times Christian families miss this. Like, oh, okay, we'll just teach them to follow Jesus and they'll be fine. Well, if you haven't taught them to follow Jesus in a way that's connecting to community, they're not going to be fine. We need Christian fellowship all the way throughout our life. And the Bible points us so clearly to that. And the Proverbs do as well. So let's consider this parent Christian community partnership in training children. Let them come, the how and now, that is its urgency, of training children. We're going to consider the predicted pattern in this verse. We're going to consider the principle of priority in this verse. We're going to consider some particulars of practice that are implied in this verse and connected to the rest of Scripture. And we're going to see how this verse really gets at a personalized process. See, a proverb, especially a biblical proverb, a proverb that's given by inspiration of God, is a truth that has many facets, certainly multiple applications. And I believe all of these, each of these four that I'm presenting here, is a way of this proverb being understood and applied consistent with what's in this profound truth of this one passage, and that's what we're going to consider today. These four facets of Proverbs 22:6 in the context of the Proverbs and in the light of all of the Scriptures as we apply them. Let's consider first the predicted pattern. There is a predicted pattern here in this proverb. It's a generalization, and it is this. Although each person is responsible for their choices, so we're not negating that. The Bible doesn't say that parents can make the kid a Christian. They can't. That is a personal, individual choice for which that child is responsible. And God brings new creation by the gospel. That is, okay, let's imagine a kid who never got any training at all. In fact, maybe it was worse than training. It was a horrible parenting. That's all they got. They didn't teach them about God. In fact, they told them the opposite of the truth. Guess what? As an adult or at some point along the way, by hearing the gospel and receiving it, that person can become a new creation. So the Bible does not teach determinism. God is sovereign and at work and able to bring a totally different change of what the training in the past has been. And parents should never be blamed for their child not being a Christian. It could be they've done a wonderful job of training and the child walked away. But let's say this, and this is what the point of this generalization. Adults usually reflect their childhood training. Adults will usually reflect their childhood training. This is why childhood is so important. And even from the youngest of phases, as Timothy was reminded from infancy, he was acquainted with the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What an amazing opportunity childhood in each of its stages presents to us. What a sobering thought. This is the life trajectory now being shaped. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That training is so vital. And many times, children, sadly, are trained in the wrong things. They're given the opposite of the truth in their training. And of course, praise God, God by his power can break through the power of the gospel to save. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that we can do in those situations, like, oh no, we missed it. But here's the principle. It is a generalization that points us to what typically happens. And this then prediction, what do you draw from this, believer? Urgency.
there may be some comfort if you've done the training, and generally they'll come back or they'll stay with it. But the main point of this is not comfort, I don't believe. The main point of this is urgency. There's a popular book was written back in the days when Lori and I were raising our kids by Ann Ortlund. The title says it all related to this urgency. The title of that book, parenting book, was Children Are Wet Cement. Whatever they're shaped in is likely what that cement will stay when it dries. And so, parents, think about this. Think of the urgency for you, every age and every stage. Christian community, this is why Trinity is so passionate about investing in ministries for children and youth. It's not to say, you know, no one comes to Jesus when they're an adult. We long for people to come to Jesus when they're adult. We're saying, man, we got an opportunity with every one of these kids to put that foundation in there. The better, the more solid, the more likely, generally speaking, that's what is going to be the adult experience of that child. And if any kid is listening, any child or young person cares to hear, please hear this. Those choices you make, as you're beginning to make choices, are profoundly impacting. Those bad choices, they're going to haunt you the rest of your life. Those good choices, when you're an old man, you'll thank God you made them. Trust me on that. You will. These verses, this verse in particular, points to the urgency because of the predicted pattern, this generalization, the urgency of childhood and the training of children. Now let me just go back to what if your heart aches for a child who's not with the Lord? What if your heart aches because when your children were growing up, you weren't even with the Lord? What if your heart aches because you thought you trained them and yet they're not walking with the Lord today? Let's speak some Bible promises for parents whose hearts ache. And, you know, I could spend the whole rest of the day giving you promises from God's word that speak to that situation. But I've chosen four. Here's one. God's word will not return void, Isaiah 55. And the gospel has the power to save, 1 Peter chapter 1. So communicate it. And if you ever did communicate it, just know the gospel is able to save. God does not let his word come back empty. Secondly, prayers are powerful and effective. A particular kind of prayer is the persistent prayer of a particular kind of person, a godly person, a righteous man or woman. But James says, James 5:16, that particular kind of prayer by that particular kind of person is powerfully effective. In fact, in Elijah's case, it made the rain stop and start. So pray for that child, for that adult. God will give you grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So as your heart aches, don't let your heartache lead you to not follow God because your child isn't following God. God will give you grace as you look to him, trust in him for whatever you face, whatever choices that child may make, however much they may break your heart. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And here's one more, and I could, again, go on and on. But God can make new creations out of those who believe, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Even when it looks like horrible and more horrible, and I couldn't believe it, is that it's like it's never beyond hope for that new page, that new chapter to be turned by the power of God who can make new creation beings out of those who personally trust in Christ. So pray for that and look for God to work. Let's go to the principal priority.
understood in the context of the Proverbs, I believe the main point of this in understanding this urgency is the priority of God. And of course, understood from a New Testament perspective, knowing that the heart reality is the heart of the reality, it is the priority of the gospel. Kind of training being talked about here in the Proverbs. You look at Proverbs 4:23 and other Proverbs. It's about heart. It's not about just outward conformity. And the gospel is the heart transformer. So train that child in God's way and in a gospel-saturated way. Think of that ground out there right now with all that rain that's coming. And it still keeps coming. It's saturated. Make your parenting every step of the way, make your interaction with those kids every stage of the way gospel saturated, like that ground is water saturated. And in so doing, you've put the emphasis on the priority. God will then shape their way of life later based on you putting in the emphasis on the priority, us as a community putting in emphasis on that priority of God and the gospel. Can you imagine a parent who would choose to take their kids to Disney World and then not have enough to feed them, clothe them, or provide shelter for them? So a lavish vacation, but not the priority of food, clothing, and shelter. This is many parents, even good parents today, right? It's all about all the stuff, activities, yada-da, and getting them educated, da-da-da, and making them look good, and da-da-da. And it's like, yeah, but what's more important than all that? God, the gospel, their relationship with Him. And so often people get all caught up in all this stuff that, although it has some level of priority, is nowhere near the priority of God and the gospel. This verse is saying the priority is God and the gospel. Train up a child in the way he should go. The way in Proverbs is a common way of speaking of one's life. So what's the path? Is it this one or that one? Is it the God way or the not God way? And this way is based on our response to God. We'll look at some Proverbs related to that. We'll look at the New Testament and consider when Jesus talks about salvation, he talks about it as the way. It's a path of trusting, surrender to Him. And that way of life is in Jesus alone. Let's consider the wrong way. The Proverbs speaks of the wrong way. Proverbs 1:15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. This is the way of the fool, the ungodly. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, same words. There is a way that seems right to a man. Yeah, this is the way. Everybody go this way. Go this way. It's like, okay, that way that seems right is a way that leads to death. It's not what you want. It's not what you want for them. So what is the way? It's the way of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. The way of wisdom. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. This is the voice of Lady Wisdom speaking. Follow the way of wisdom. And there is an invitation then to walk in that way. My son, walk in that way. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way, another proverb says. Well, how do you get to that way? You want your child to choose that way. Proverbs 9, verse 6, or rather 9, verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the key to this way. The reverence or respect for God, the acknowledgement of my sin before a holy God, that He is holy, that He is God and I am not. This heart reality of fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is what needs to be placed into the heart of that child as we instruct them and guide them. And of course, this gospel-saturated, putting the emphasis on God, reminds them that Jesus offers forgiveness and eternal life. And in everything we share with them, we point them to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's look at a few scriptures. These are well known. But Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. So it seems like a lot of people easily go this way. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And in the context there, Jesus is speaking of building your life on the rock, the wisdom way of God's words. And then John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, and that is the only way to have eternal life. The foundation of a gospel response needs to be built into every aspect of parenting. And Paul in Romans 1:16 just reminds us of the gospel's power to save everyone who believes. So kids and adults only experience God's saving power by a personal response of faith in Jesus Christ. The good news is Jesus provides it. The call is a personal response. And we then train children in that way. That's the principle of priority, the way of knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ. We could talk more about this, and we're going to, in one of the messages of this series, talk about the issue specifically of salvation in more detail, and helping kids come to that, and how do we have assurance of that, and what do we make of kids who seem to profess and then later on don't profess. But let's move on to the particulars of practice. I think this is helpful just as we consider training in Proverbs and the Bible. What is it? What's involved in it? And I'm noting three different kinds of strands of training. One strand of training clearly is instruction. Hey, here's something you need to know. This is what God's word says. Here's truth that you need to take in. Another strand of training is discipline. It is the consequences and correction, and not just like, oh, you know, whatever you want to do. It's like, no, there's going to be discipline and reinforcement and consequences in this training process. A third component of training in the Proverbs and in the Bible is loving relationship. If you miss out on the loving relationship, we're just all about instruction and discipline, it becomes very, 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 very difficult to get those training lessons through as the child grows. If it's all about loving relationship and there's no discipline in instruction, it likely will be the child's just going to choose whatever path he or she wants without your guiding hand. So wise training involves all three of these. And I would suggest to you that even a verse like Ephesians 6:4 includes this threefold gospel-rooted training process. The same kind of things that Proverbs 22:6 is talking about appear in Ephesians 6:4, written to a Christian community and to believing parents in that community. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. In that context there in the book of Ephesians, the Lord Jesus Christ is gospel-centered parenting, gospel-centered training under Jesus and consistent with the authority and gospel of Jesus. So let's consider then in more detail some things about this threefold training. First, can we consider instruction? In the Proverbs, there are specific proverbs that exhort the child or the son related to giving attention to their parents' instruction, godly instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1:8. So many of the Proverbs are framed around this idea of son and listening to parents. And yes, there is some kind of a level of sort of all of us as embracing truth as children and as those being instructed in the way of wisdom. But so many of the Proverbs drive this home specifically to a parent with a child and the parenting process. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, remember the emphasis on instruction. For teaching and for training in righteousness, and also their reproof, training or correction, which gets at the idea of discipline. There's that discipline word. In the book of Proverbs, there's much related to discipline. And why is it that a child needs to be disciplined? And how is it that discipline works? One thing is that we need to remember, and this is important for parents and kids, if you're listening, this is true, is that discipline, healthy discipline, is really loving. Right? So the idea, well, you're, that's not nice, that's not kind, that's not very loving, that's nonsense. How do we know this? Because the Lord disciplines. The Lord reproves those he loves. God disciplines us, not because he's out to get us, but because he loves us as a father loves the son in whom he delights. So discipline includes things like correction, consequences, consistency, celebration, and coaching choices. Because ultimately, they will choose. You can't make your kids make good, healthy adult choices. Discipline is going to lead them to that through correction, consequences, consistency, celebration, and coaching of choices. And so why is discipline so important? Why is it needed? These are sobering words. Folly, this is Proverbs, this is the word of God, is bound up in the heart of a child. And the rod of discipline drives it from it. This is not abusive rod. This is instructive rod. This is loving discipline, correction, consequences. A child left to himself will not go the right way. They will go the way of folly. The rod and reproof give wisdom, Proverbs 29, verse 15. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. This is why a big part of training is discipline. And parents need to be wisely thinking, okay, the stage right now, what are the issues? How can I train? What does discipline look like now in helping my child move forward in the way he should go? And then another part, don't miss this, of this biblical training, the particulars and practice of Scripture, is loving relationship. Look back at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and notice the emphasis on the father, the parent in this context, giving way to that child and what's going on in the heart of that child, and not just sort of delivering the goods and saying, take it or leave it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it notes, so they are not discouraged, is the reason why this provoking should not be happening. This tells me that the relationship and the way that the parent connects with the child at every stage and every age, even understanding the specifics of that child and their capacities, their personality, et cetera, are vitally important, which leads me to the final point of the four particulars of Proverbs 22:6, of the four facets of the how and now of training, and that is the personalized process. One of the things that stands out to me in the scriptures is that to train here is in keeping with or in giving attention to the uniqueness of each child. And that one of the wonderful things about Proverbs is it can sort of make, or at least apply the different points, even though it's one Proverbs. And this comes out of a little deeper consideration of what the verse is saying when it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Literally in the Hebrew, it is according to the mouth of that in the way he should go. You say, what does that mean? Well, if you look in the Old Testament, in literal Hebrew, this idiom shows up, this kind of way of speaking shows up quite frequently in the Old Testament. And he has the idea of sort of in a way that is fit and appropriate. So it's not only according to the mouth of in a way that is fit and appropriate, the word of the Lord, the way of fearing the Lord, the truth of the Lord. That's obviously the main point understood in the light of all the Proverbs and all the Scripture. But a secondary aspect here is a way that is inconsistent with the capacity, personality, uniqueness, interests of that child. Imagine if we decided we're going to send shoes to all the kids in the village in the DR, just for purposes of an illustration. We said, we're going to send every one of these kids a pair of shoes. What if we sent just one size? I'm just going to all, size 7 kids too. Right? Like, wait, that's ridiculous. Every child is different. Some need a little smaller, some need a little bigger. We'd want to personalize the shoe for the child. Of course, we need to personalize the parenting for the child. We need to personalize the parenting based on their age. Are we talking a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, etc.? We need to personalize the parenting based on their capacities. What can they do? We need to personalize based on the personality. We are not parenting us when we were a kid. You're not. First off, they're not you. Secondly, it's not them. And you're not parenting their sibling. You know, one of the worst things a parent can say is your brother, your sister, all of that. That is immaterial here right now. We're talking them and God and the principles of God. Comparison is almost always, and I'm only hedging a little bit to say almost, I'm tempted to say always wrong. Just is not an appropriate way. Deal with them based on them. Train them based on their interests, capacities, personalities, needs. And parents, we got to get smart. Some kids, you got to be really tough. You got to be way tougher than maybe you want to be. Because that's just one tough kid. They're just tough as nails. And the next child, if you're that tough, or maybe as tough as you want to be if you're tough, you're going to crush them because you're just into being tough. So you need to be wise enough to know when, hey, this kid needs tough, and this kid, that's entirely the wrong approach in this situation. Now, person, so you may say, Pastor Bruce, how do I do all this? This is what needs to keep parents on their knees. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lord Jesus, give me wisdom to understand my child. And, you know, maybe some research might be good. Like, what are the things kids are dealing with? What are the developmental stages? What are the, when they have capacity? You're not parenting a different child than your child, and you're not training them at a different stage than the stage they're at, and you're not dealing with a personality other than the one that you're dealing with. So this requires wisdom and seeking God yourself. And I think another reason why the community of believers is so important, helping us, encouraging us, praying for us, maybe modeling for us things that might not come as easily or naturally even to us. Personalized process is one aspect here. And doesn't that fit with just how God works? Within the bounds, of course, of Scripture and God's universal design, gender, man, woman, marriage, family, Christian community, God's moral principles, of course, those are all given. But each child is unique. Parent them, understanding that uniqueness. Let them come. We're training kids to follow Jesus in a secular world. And I want to encourage us as we conclude, just for each parent who has children, somewhere along the way of their training, whether they're really young or on the cusp of adulthood, maybe be thinking and praying right now, Lord, what are the action steps for me? Where's that urgency for me here now? And for us as a Trinity community, let's be thinking about that as well. How are we called to urgency right now with kids? One would be prayerfully supporting those who are parents, prayerfully lifting up to the Lord those who are children. And praying for those who need to make a decision to follow Christ, even if they've moved on into adulthood. Let's all be about that as a community of believers as we are engaged in the how and now of training.
I'd like us to conclude by just considering one specific how and now, and that is Backyard Kids Club VBS. So if you're a parent, I would encourage you to be registering your child right now on TCC's website. If you know kids, neighbor kids, friends of your families, co-workers' kids or whatever, see if you can get information to those parents who would get them registered. And if you're a part of the Trinity community, maybe you want to sign up to be a helper in that VBS, Backyard VBS, July 19th to 23rd. Let's all be about inviting kids. What an opportunity, not only for Trinity kids, but kids in our communities to hear the gospel and be exposed to Jesus and his word. And let's all be praying. But the urgency of this season of prayer. And of course, there's an urgency for all of our kids and all aspects, but VBS is one thing we're rallying behind this summer. I want to ask you to help us in that. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to us. We thank you for this one verse, how it really gives us a sense of urgency and clarity about the priority. Thank you, God, that you, by the gospel, save those who turn to you in faith. Thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the truth of your promises. Thank you, God, that you can sustain us with grace even in the difficult times of the heartache over those who maybe are not following you. God, we pray that you would help us to seize that opportunity in front of us right now, those who are parents, and as a community, as we stand with parents and partner in ministry to children, God. We just pray that each of these kids would have that foundation to be able to know you and follow you, and we would train them well in that, Lord. Give us wisdom and direction how to do that effectively, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close and praise God together.